What follows is the chapel program for March 5, 1981. Chapel speaker today is Dr. Donald Cook.
Thank you. Let us come before our God to share worship in His sight. Let us wait before the Creator who cares for our days and nights. In worship, we sense together the goodness of God's great vision for all who receive His grace, rather than seek fleshly provision for a human way in earth's confusing maze. Accept our songs, O Ancient of Days. Receive the offering of our praise. Allow us who have been sin slaves our grateful hymns to raise. May we stand. Be seated. Join me in prayer. We thank Thee, our Father, for the beauty of this day and for fellowship to be shared in worship. We thank Thee for one another, for the privilege that we have of knowing each other and of being parts of the lives of those who love us and whom we love. We thank Thee for our school and for each opportunity of love and service that becomes realized as we give ourselves to Thee wholeheartedly. We pray this day not only for ourselves, but we pray for our world. And especially do we pray for peace, our Father, the peace that passeth all understanding for the persons in this room and for men and women and boys and girls who inhabit this world today. Deliver us, we pray, from our sin. Deliver us from our bad judgment and our ambition. Deliver us from seeking to be what we are not, and never realizing what Thou hast already made us to be. Help us in fellowship with Thy Spirit to become Thy servants and Thy children in the world. And may through us the gospel not only be heard, but may it be believed and lived. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I think one of the great gifts of getting a few years under your belt and a few decades in your own personal history is the developing sense of the real value and the real wonder of life. I don't think when I was 19 I really appreciated the gift of life nearly as much as I do now that I'm 49. And in the 30 years intervening, to experience life with those one loves, to experience it somewhat in this fellowship for the last 16 years, and in the fellowship of the church since I was a child, is to become aware of the most profound levels at which a human being can live and move and have our being. It used to be that as I moved through life, I would sense a deep moment or a great feeling, a joy or a sorrow, and then forget it. I forgot it because I did not really know how to handle some of the dimensions of life. In more recent years, my memory has been improved, and I find myself on occasion reliving experiences and learning from them, and allowing those experiences of the past to instruct the present and give me real hope for the future. What I would like to do this morning is to share with you some lines that I have written over the past year as we have been in pilgrimage together. Pilgrimage in this place. Pilgrimage sharing the joys and the sorrows of a common life together. I count my being here as part of this fellowship of students and faculty as one of the really great gifts that God has ever given me. And I sense that as you and I become part of one another, we not only enhance our intellectual understanding of what the great teachings of the church happen to be, but we have the privilege of putting those into practice in our own lives and demonstrating not only their possibility but their practicality in love, in light, in hope, and in joy. Walk with me, if you will, on my pilgrimage. We've shared it a great deal. It's been part of who we are and who we shall be. But for a moment, look at our fellowship through my eyes and sense something of my love for you and our love for God. Poetry is the song of my heart in response to life, given by God at the start of day, before sin's night. I sing my song for those who dare to feel, for those who sing the simple verse of God's care to save mankind who sin. We are a theological community. And in recent months, we have been under stress. That stress has brought about frustration, fear, anger. In my own case, I've moved beyond that. It has brought about reflection. Let me share with you some of my reflections on our theological existence. How can I believe? Jesus, mysterious Messiah of ancient prophecy, I reel at human ascriptions to you of power and deity. In awe, I ponder what is due to a God-man from Galilee. Who are you to me? Specter? Memory? Myth? Reflex creature of man's common dream? Are you real beyond the text? Your words of beauty and power, what do they mean? Can they claim my respect amid the human wreck? O Jesus, helper of the weak, come to my faithless heart. In thee God's fullness I seek, not understanding in part. Grant faith's obedience, I pray, may trust in thee have its start, and hope begin its task so meek. Let knowledge of thee my limits demark, and godly fear my quest complete. inspiration. The Word of God is more than words upon the pages of man. The ancient hands who wrote inspired belong to sinners such as we. God touched our brothers in the flesh. Proclaim God's word to me. My creed. What I believe is between God and me. I cannot wait for some bishop's nod of yea or nay. My heart to stay as I stretch beyond myself to know the meaning of life's flow or permission give that I might live. My creed is written in the deed of God's dear Son meeting human need. Words themselves are empty vessels scraped on paper with blunted pencils. The faith of words is less than faith, and never can the church make safe. But the word of faith can free the soul and make the broken hearted whole. Freedom. Freedom is the substance of human life bought at the price of Christ's blood. It grows in the light of God's might and human care. Freedom lives in the hearts and bears the marks of Christian love. It must never be sacrificed in petty strife with arrogant fools. You remember some person in our convention recently had something to say about the Jews and prayer. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob hears the prayers of all who turn their minds toward Him and draw near with hearts that burn. The source of all that is turns not away His children who seek with Him to meet, despite every earthly risk. No mortal can define the scope of His mercy, nor refine the quality of God's love revealed by the heavenly dove. The cross points men toward God. It can never be a barrier to guard the one who made the blind to see. Open our eyes, O God of light, to see our fellows, thy children dear, within the scope of thy loving sight, and draw them to thee in prayer. The peace of God. The peace of God detracts not one whit from the integrity of the mind, but adds serenity of a special kind to those who its paths have trod. The grace of God ennobles the spirit of Adam's every child. The Son of God, man for a while, redeems sin's great debit and removes the chastening rod. Peace is God's gift in the midst of time, touching hearts at their deepest rift, lifting the eternal sign. Peace is quietness amid life's noise, serenity in spite of fear, affirming our being with unspoken joys, announcing that God is near. Peace is wholeness in a world incomplete, loving the worst as if the best, healing the victims of sin's deceit. Peace is Christ dying that we might live, and living that God might give. I think God can be seen in the world about us. Outside my window, there's a tree, a tall tree on the other side of Staley Hall. When I'm working at my study table, many times I pause and look out that window, sometime into the face of a squirrel, other times to watch a pigeon fly by, or other times to see God. The leaf that in the fall turns from green to gold reminds me of a change in all who move from young to old. The beauty of green is not destroyed with the varying of its hue. O God, may my faith be unalloyed as I approach the new. Bare limbs. Bare limbs pressed against a cold blue sky are stark protest against the cold that penetrates the very soul. Those limbs cut for wood could make warmth for a widow existing on the dole. Beauty is desolate without the warmth of human care to banish cold indifference to the plight of another's state in our world. As a creature of God, I dare not hate. Every year, about 2 weeks before school starts, we try to spend a little time at the beach to get ready for another year. This was an especially meaningful time for us as we thought about the past and the future, as we looked at the sea. Surf and sea are timeless reminders of whence we came. Ever-moving heralds of sameness, guardian of God's domain. Beauty and power are blended by the Master's touch, where land and sea are ended, and heaven to earth is clutched. Occasionally we have to travel for the seminary. This year, as I flew to Colorado to speak to the Northern Plains Convention, I had an experience that I had never had before. Flying west, of course, I watched the sun go down, not for just a few moments, but literally for hours. And in the glow of that setting sun, as we moved toward the west, I found myself again thinking of God. I call it flight toward beauty. Hurtling west at almost the speed of light, the horizon glistens, preparing for the night that soon will take the clouds from sight. Those clouds, now gray, blend with the blue, dancing together as if created anew in crystals that far below become dew upon fall's leaves, where summer's work is through. The glowing disk of violet and red seems stalled above the sky, and time is stilled. Yet I feel no dread as we fly toward beauty in our winged air sled, while the lingering twilight gathers up the last of day with the quietness of a loving word. But that was not all. Something else seemed to be there, and it was a while before I saw it, but then it came. Racing the sun across the heavens fills my heart with wonder and awe at the possibility of life without aging's inexorable flaw. In the extended glow of the western horizon, progress seems stopped toward death's yawning maw. My world not only is populated by people, it is populated by clocks. clocks which speak of time. A ticking clock reminds me of life's movement toward significance, or its lack in each momentary pause. The voice of the clock holds me on track in a present bound to past cause, but free to hope sacrament. The faces of clocks, like those of men, have import for their ultimate end. On the face of time, the present is measured. On the visages of men can be seen their treasures of heart and mind extending beyond the limits of time. The hands of a clock, like those of a man, reach across the temporal span to translate momentary function into being and probe the very substance of meaning. The moments of life are precious stuff, of which we never seem to have enough to spend with those who share our days, or direct toward God our heartfelt praise. I wish I could extend my time, not so much in length, but in its scope, and live my days with more than hope of maybe tomorrow my affairs in line, to do what I want, not just the kind of things I ought. I strain against the diminishing store of hours that count for naught. Yet I ask not God for more, only meaning in my moments before I'm taken forever from you. Finally, there are several dimensions in which we all see ourselves. My own self-understanding touches the role of teacher, the role of preacher, and the role of student. I have three poems, one each, on preaching, teaching, and being a student. How do you feel those few moments just before you stand to preach? I wrestled with this not too long ago. Moments from now, in hushed silence, I will stand before the gathered church to preach. What will they hear? Who dares speak for the Almighty? Who casts a shadow for the Divine One? Am I Moses? Am I Elijah? Am I John? Why am I here? Who prepared me to speak? Who stands beside my faltering form and behind my trembling voice? Do I speak for myself? Should I flee? God will be in them. Is he in me? They await word from thee, holy other. Dare I be more than just a brother? Can I proclaim God dying on a tree? My bones are afire, my mind ablaze. Thy presence beyond within demands speech for the word and flesh for the spirit, a human word from God. I know thee only as a man. I shall speak only as I can. May a sinner's word from God be heard. What greater calling than to teach, to help another his depth to reach, to probe for truth, to look for meaning, to redeem the promise of life's great greening? I like to be near when a mind awakes, when the light of truth upon him breaks. The change is evident in eye and voice. For the first time, he has a choice of who to be or what to do with the range of life that is suddenly new. Those dreary facts that yesterday bored and quite often greatly annoyed that languid spirit in repose. now become luminous to expose the vast reaches of human potential and the underlying divine essential. My last piece is entitled An Appeal to Students. Come into our classes and into our hearts. Come to learn and to know. Come to enlarge your lives. Come to live and to grow. Share the power of Christ. Care in the spirit of love. Bear together in pain or joy. Dare for the sake of the word. Go. Go in the name of God. Go and never look back. Go where only the Spirit has trod. Go. You will never lack. For the privilege of being together in ministry and learning, our Father, we give Thee thanks. For the knowledge of Thee that comes in faith, and for the love that we have experienced in Jesus Christ, accept the eternal gratitude not only of our minds and of our hearts, but of our very being. In our going from this place, may we go with Thee. And in our sharing, may we proclaim the gospel in truth, in power, and in love. For we ask it in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.